Okay, we continue in the Gemara Sanhedrin. We're on Lamed Gimel Amid Beis, about 9 lines from the top, and you will all trust that I'm going to be telling you the truth now. And you'll pretend.
You mean sometimes you don't?
No, but at least you guys can. You can see the screen.
I know.
You can. If I would even think to do anything, you say, no. Rabbi doesn't say that. Now you got to trust me. And as soon as that thing gets better, we will flip it back. Anyway, the Gemara goes back to the next ruling in the Mishnah, and says that in capital cases, you can reverse a judgment if it provides an acquittal. If you originally said guilty, and then they're going to kill him, then if you have a reason to reverse it, you can reverse it to acquit, but not in favor. You don't reverse it to make a conviction. All right? The Gemara now wants to know what the source of that is. Tana Rabbanan, the rabbis taught in a brisa. Minayin liyotzei mibezdin chayev. From where do we know that if somebody left the court and he was convicted against the charge against him, and he's going to be taken to get executed, v'omer echad, and then somebody comes along and says, yesh li lelamad lav schus, I found an argument to present in favor of his acquittal. Minayin, how do we know? Shemachzir no so. How do we know that we return to court, return the guy to the court in order to consider the argument? Doesn't mean you're going to acquit him, but you're going to hear the argument. Okay? Now, this is after they've already heard arguments, okay? But then somebody comes up with a brainstorm, you know, and they're ready to take him out to execute. And say, wait, I thought of a new idea. Let's go back. And so you do that. How do you know we do that? Talmud Lomar. The Torah says, when it talks about this subject, it says, Noki al taharog. It says, a Noki, a person who's innocent, al taharog, you should not kill. So that's what it's meaning. If there's a way that maybe he is innocent, we would never want to kill an innocent guy. So if somebody says, I have something to say in favor, we'd have to check it out. How about the reverse? Uminayim liyotzei mibezdin zaka. How do you know when a person comes out of the court and he's been acquitted, and then after he's acquitted, va'amar echad, and then one person says, yesh li lamad lav chova, I have something to present in favor of conviction. Let's bring him back and try him. So we don't, Torah, you know, didn't invent the idea of double jeopardy, right? Which I still never understood that idea. But if you really think about it from a secular perspective, why shouldn't you convict him a second time? Like, try him a second time. But they don't. It must be, somehow, they had a Jewish friend. No. I don't. No, you have to bring a separate case. You know, it's a... Oh, yeah, but it's not... It can't be exact for the guy to get killed twice, the second time. I guess they figure, well, he went through a lot the first time, you know. Again, they're not interested in justice, of course. But it must be that whoever made up this rule in the non-Jewish world must have had a Jewish rabbi as a friend, because it's Yiddishkeit. It's not called double jeopardy. So how do you know minayin shemachzir? So how do you know we don't return the fellow back to court and to consider the argument? Talmud Lomar, because it says over there the Torah as well, tzaddik al taharog. Do not kill a righteous person. And, but in the pasuk there, it has a little bit more. It says, v'noki, and an innocent, v'tzadik, and a righteous, al tarog, don't kill. Now that's an extra word. You said innocent and righteous. Just say one. An innocent guy, you don't kill. A righteous guy, you don't kill. Right? So why is it a double expression? To say there's two types of accused who can't be executed. The first one, who's truly innocent. Mm-hmm. Okay, Naki, he's clean, he's truly innocent. The second one, if he was mistakenly convicted. Okay, so he's got to be returned as well. Right, and the other one is someone who was declared innocent in court, and maybe not. So that's what the extra one is for. Even someone who was declared innocent, but not. We're getting him off the hook as well, although it's not explained why. Torah doesn't give us the reason. It's double expression. That's what it's from the double. So even if he's called, once he was called a tzaddik, righteous in this case, even though he's not, we don't go back and bring this. There's no logic for that. It's just a pasuk.
They would say once he was called innocent, he was acquitted.
That's what it's saying. So if he's really innocent, okay, again. So there's two types. Again, the first is someone who's truly innocent but was mistakenly convicted. So we go back. He was mistakenly convicted, so we go back to fix that up. And the second one is saying a case where he was, if you want to reverse the things, we don't take it. We don't do it. Because once he was already listed as innocent, he's considered innocent.
Why do we assume that an innocent is a tzaddik?
No, the court said he was tzaddik. He was righteous in this case. Not that he's a tzaddik. It means he was righteous in this case. In this case, he was declared righteous. Right, so you can't kill him. So it's from the extra words that tell us that. So that's how we know. Okay, yeah.
When it says that this guy has a chov or a zchut to teach for him, does that mean mashma like to aid him, like he has witnesses,
it's someone in the court.
Just he has like a reason to that.
If you have two witnesses, and for sure, I mean that's. But it's the one of the guys. Somebody's saying I have a thing for us to pursue, an avenue of a way to get the guy out.
So if it was witnesses, they would be able to bring the din back. No problem.
Well, no, I don't know about that. I don't know about to convict. It doesn't say that. It's not specifically saying judges or right. witnesses.
Well, I guess that it would be the hazama if they brought back witnesses to.
Well, no, not witnesses. Necessarily hazama. It's just you could bring even separate witnesses, nothing to do with the other witnesses. Yeah. But
what Sir was saying, if somebody comes to information, you need two witnesses to convict. But if one person comes and wait a second,
we're not gonna do a conviction anymore. Once the guy's off, he's off.
No, but say that the guy was found guilty, and then somebody comes up with additional information, but there's only one guy, and he says
So then the judges would look into it, and then if they feel it's worthy, they would overturn it.
Even if it's only one guy.
It depends what the one guy's saying.
But you don't. My point is, you don't need two witnesses to overturn it, like you do to convict the guy.
Whatever they listen, you could have two witnesses who, as clear as they are, both testifying the guy was Machal Shabbos and was warned and everything, and they're going to convict him. Yeah, well, let's put it this way: once you have two solid witnesses, this you can still. Acquit a guy because you could say, well, in spite of that, we feel he didn't do it because we're not happy with everything the witnesses said, and you know, it's not always just because you have the two witnesses game over because they can say, well, we see that, but it's not 100% because there's a little bit of weakness in some of the things they said. Not that the witnesses are liars, they're saying, well, I don't know, it's. It's close, whatever, and then if another person, so if you convict, the guy could say, well, maybe there's something a little bit about what the witnesses says is not clear. I mean, you'd be surprised, you know. I guess they have to search motives. There's all kinds of things that they have to calculate. So if one of the judges, or not even the judges, people said, listen, I've thought of a new way of looking at him to get him out. So we pursue it. Doesn't mean he's going to be overturned. That's important to mention as well. It's no guarantee he's going to be overturned and acquitted, but we'll look into it. Again, we're always trying to acquit as much as possible. So if there's someone brings up, let's try to acquit him. Okay, we'd say, all right, let's look into it. But just because somebody says so doesn't mean you're going to acquit him. And then obviously there'd be two witnesses. That would be very strong evidence. But again, could be the witnesses at the end of the day. The judge will say, sorry, not enough to acquit the guy. Yeah. So all we're saying is, do we reopen the case or not? We have the details, you leave it to the judges for the details. All right, continues. The Gemara now says there's an exception to this rule. This rule we just said, that to acquit we bring back, to convict we don't. He says, Omar Ravi Shimi Barashi. Rav Shimi Barashi said, V'chilufa b'mesis. Everything we just said, it's the exact opposite for a mesis. And mesis is a guy who's trying to instigate people to worship idols. Or Jews for Jesus guy. Okay? So everything we said for regular people, it's the exact opposite for them. Which is, tichsiv, which means that if we acquit them, and then somebody says, I have something to say, maybe to be guilty, we'll bring back the case to make them guilty. And once they've been decided as guilty, and if a guy says, I think I have a reason to acquit them, we say we're not listening and we're going to take them out and kill them. Now, why are we doing the exact opposite? Shouldn't we be compassionate about their lives? No, the Torah says not to be compassionate. Now, obviously, there has to be enough evidence. It's not a question, we don't know if they did it. Remember, a lot of times it's just a question, do you have the, what do you call it, the proper, what's the word I'm looking for, legal, everything was done properly. Again, let's say, did the they'll ask, you know, did you warn him right before he did it? You know, and then they said, yes. You know, sometimes you know they did it, but they get off on a technicality, right? You saw him kill? Yes, we saw him. And it's exactly right. Okay, did you make the warning within 3 seconds before he killed him? I go, well, I don't know. It's 3 seconds. I can't really tell. You have to know. Because if it's not within 3 seconds, maybe it was 4 seconds. Well, do you know for sure? Sorry, we can't convict him. It's like that close, right? So then, whatever. I'm saying, but you know the guy killed him. And I don't want to get there, so why are we letting him off? That's a separate issue. But so in other words, if you know the guy was a Mesis, you know the guy was trying to deter people from the religion. It's not like somebody just makes a wild claim and we have no real evidence. We say, oh, he was getting people with idolatry, so we're not going to even give him a fair trial. No, he gets a fair trial. Everyone gets a fair trial. The question is, does he get a compassionate trial? That's the point. So once we kind of know that they really were doing it, now the question is, okay, do we try to get every technicality and this and that? No, no, no. Now we don't even look to find a way to get them out. That's the point. So therefore, so how do we know this? Because it says, "Tichsiv lo sachmo," you shall not have compassion for him. "V'lo sachaslov," and don't cover for him. Okay? So what's, well, again, two clauses. Don't have compassion and don't cover for him. Why two clauses? So the first one teaches us that we don't reopen the case to consider any new arguments. We don't have compassion. The second, do not cover him, teaches that new arguments for conviction may not be ignored. So now we're bringing, so it's both ways, that we don't bring it back for his good, and we do bring it back for his bad. So that's what he's saying. Rav Kahana, Masi, Rav Kahana says, no, I have a different source. The source is from me, from the words, ki harog targenu, for you shall surely slay him. Why the double expression, you shall surely slay him? So from that we can understand the same idea, that he should be executed even in circumstances where he's normally not, another person is not executed. So that's how we have that. See, for sure more than 5 minutes, man. It's just halfway. Yeah, I'd say, okay, I'm a witness, so it's about 54%. So. Okay, let's move on now. The Mishnah now talks about the issue, the capital cases where verdicts of innocence are not reversed. So, more now asks, okay, we said that by death. What about other negative verdicts? Can they be overturned? We said death isn't overturned. How about things like, let's say they said he had to go into exile, and they ruled he has to go into exile. Could that be overturned with new evidence? Torah is only talking the source was from a death. Remember, Mishnah said if the guy was meant to be executed, right, we can reverse it. But we don't go back the other way if he's acquitted, right? That was, Mishnah clearly talking about murder one. Okay, Gemara now says, okay, we talked about murder. What about if the court had to decide if he killed unintentionally and has to go now live in a Ir HaMikla? Will we say the same rule that we'll go back to acquit and we won't go back to convict, to send him into exile? Or how about lashes? In other words, we've dealt with murder, but and the Pusuk was speaking clearly about a murder case. So, okay, you told me about murder, but what about these other cases? They're also pretty serious. Do we give the same rule that we have compassion to him and we'll reverse it if there's new evidence that he shouldn't go into exile or he shouldn't get lashed? And we won't reverse it once he was acquitted to now make him convict. Gemara just wants to know what would be the case there.
Like a what?
Kal v'chomer? No, it's not a. It's the opposite. It's not a kal v'chomer. No. Well, Well, one way it's not, and one way it is.
Yeah, I can see both ways.
Halfway it is. On the one side, let's say if the guy was a murderer and was guilty, then you'd say, well, kal vachomer, well, oh.
You reversed it.
Okay, it's almost ready now. Made a big jump. Okay.
It.
So anyway, that's the issue. So the Gemara will prove to you, so this boy mine Rav Zera and Rav Sheshes. Rav Zera asked a shail from Rav Sheshes, Chayove Goluyos. What will be the law of someone who's liable to exile? Can we reverse the decision that freed the accused from the sentence of exile or not? Can we do that? So when Rav Sheshes says, Asya, we have a Xer Shava. It says, Rotseach, Rotseach. When it talks about the parsha of murder, the extra word there is rotseach, a murderer. And when it talks about the story of the going into exile case, an intentional killer, it uses the word rotseach, extra word there, murderer. So that shows that they're the same. And therefore, we treat the law exactly the same. Next question. Now, Rav Zera further asks, Chayove Malkios Mai, what about lashes? Can it be reversed? So Asi says, there's a different Zera Shava, Russia, Russia. By a murderer, there's a term, an extra word is Russia by the murderer. There's an extra word Russia by the lashes. So we learn the same law by murder, same law by lashes. So this is from Xeris Akosov, as it were, where we're comparing one to the other. So Torah's comparing it. Once you have one, we have the others. Now the Gemara says, Tanya Nami Achi. Now there's a Brisa that supports it. All right, we'll just finish this. There's a Brisa that supports it. It asks, the Brisa says, Chayova Goluyus Minayin. How do we know that when someone it's a question, does he go into exile or not, that we can reverse it to exonerate him and we don't reverse the other ways? Asir Rotzeach Rotzeach, make Xer Shava from murder to murder. What about Chayve Malkus Mayim? What about if the guy was Chayve in lashes? Asya Russia, Russia, we make the comparison Russia to Russia. Okay, so now. Okay, the Gemara now continues going on the next. One second. Yeah. The next part of the Mishnah talks about the Ein Machzir Nechova. They say we don't reverse a capital case in favor of conviction. So next part of the Gemara, Amar Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan. Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Yochanan says, when do we not reverse? So you're going to see it's not ironclad. If the decision was made, so here, look what it said. Vuhu, nu. Frozen. Okay.
Put the whole button
and go back. Wait a second. Okay. V'hu shetah b'davar she'ein hatziduki modim bo. This is true when we don't go back in things that the tzedukim do not concur with. Now, what does this mean? Now, remember, the tzedukim, the Sadducees, they were a reform movement in Judaism that purported, although they really didn't believe in anything, but they couldn't make that as their public statement. So they said, we only believe what's written in the Torah. That's it. We don't believe any of the rabbis, that Xer Shavu we just learned. We don't believe any of that stuff. Just what it says in the Torah. Okay? So obviously, when we're going to deal with convictions and acquittals, when the rabbis, the Sanhedrin, the Bezins, looking at it, they're going to look at more than what it just says in the Chumash. They're going to look at what the consensus of the oral law says. All right? So now, you made a judgment that the guy is acquitted, okay? Now, somebody comes back and says, I don't know, there's a Gemara over there, the way you understood the Gemara. Maybe Gemara can be understood a little differently. This is also another reason you would come back. Maybe you made an error in judgment. Okay, there's different ways you could make a mistake. You make a mistake on how you looked at the witnesses and this. Then, you look into the books, and you think the books say the law is this, and then says, I have a different shot in the Gemara. And maybe for this particular case, the guy could go free, right? Or we're saying the guy should be convicted. So we say, listen, once we freed him, we're not going to convict him. But that's only if the guy wants to bring information to convict him that's not obviously written in the Torah. Mm-hmm. If he wants to bring something from a Gemara or something, we're not going to bring it back. That's what he means with if possibly there was a mistake in things that Tzedukim do not concur with. Meaning to say, it's not an obvious biblical source. So then we don't go back to try to reconvict him. However, this is now you can find the exception where you do go back to reconvict him. Basically, the answer is if the mistake was so gross, it's black and white in a chumash that even a tzaduki would agree to. That means a 5-year-old kid in cheder would have known the law. And you acquitted him and you just ignored that. You know, like they say, oh, he killed him. Okay, so he killed him. Oh, we'll let him go free. You know, like, wait a minute, the Torah says you killed the guy. For him. You know, in other words, you have very ignorant, that's very unusual to have an ignorant court, you have 23 judges to be that ignorant to rule that. But anyway, avolta, but if the mistake was that even the Sadducees would agree to that law. That means it's explicit in the Pasuk. So, zeal, krei beiravu, because it's something one can read in school. So that's such an obvious one. Then you would go back and retry to convict, because that was just gross, a totally improper judgment. Okay? Now, just going through all this. So therefore, the expression, a matter with which even the Sadducees concur, refers to something so explicit in the Torah that even the Sadducees were compelled to accept its verdict. Our Mishnah's rule, barring judges from reversing an improper verdict of acquittal in a capital case, refers only to a decision made in contradiction to a Mishnaic or a Marak statement. But if the judge's verdict is contradicted by an explicit biblical verse that even school children know, the verdict has no validity whatsoever and may therefore be reversed. In other words, although the Torah decrees that an erroneous decision cannot be reversed, the exhibition of inexcusable ignorance cannot be deemed an erroneous decision. So that's the idea.
That's very unlikely, though.
Yeah, that's like, I don't think it could ever happen, but you never know. There were times of great ignorance. Okay, now, how about, okay, so far we've gone through three scenarios. Murder, we've gone through exile, we've gone through lashes. Now there's another one we could look into. Rav Chiya bar Abba, Rav Yochan. Rav Chiya bar Abba asked the following shav for Rav Yochan. What about Toef ben Noef ben Oefes? What person erred in judgment in the case of an adulterer and adulteress, which comes with a murder? What's the law? If they acquitted them, can that be reversed? So in other words, this is the real question. It's the follow-up question. Are the laws of adultery so clear that any mistake regarding them in favor of the defendant must necessarily be reversible? In other words, Rav Chiya bar Abba knew that the laws regarding murder are intricate, involving many details that are not explicitly stated in the Torah. That's why it's not so easy to convict. It is therefore easy to imagine how a judge might acquit someone of murder through a mistake involving such a law, thereby rendering the acquittal irreversible. Because there could be complex places where he didn't know. For example, the murderer was warned not by the witnesses, but by the victim himself, and the judge mistakenly acquitted the murderer for this reason. All right? Or he acquitted the defendant on the ground that the murder was committed in self-defense, but in reality, the defendant could have saved his life by disabling his head by killing him. Right? That's a good case. Let's say a guy's running after me. Let's say a guy is running after to kill me. Look at this. And now I'm trying to save myself. Now, we know you're allowed to defend yourself, right? But there's limitations to how much you can defend yourself. Now this is a very big if. If we know for sure, and you knew for sure, Mr. Defendant, that you could have just you had a gun with you and a taser. The guy's running after you to kill you. You have a gun and a taser, right? Now, you could use either one just as easily. You could have used the taser and that would have immobilized it. But instead you used the gun. And you were warned by the CNN reporters who were on the scene because they're trying to put down the police, right? They say, use the taser, not the gun. Guy says, I don't care. I'm so upset at the guy, I'm going to use the gun. We're telling you not to because it comes with the death penalty of blah, blah, blah. And he says, no, I'm defending myself, whatever. But you use the taser, not the gun. And then what happens? He used the gun and not the taser. So now they took it to the court. And the court, now this halachas comes out of a Gemara. It's not a pasuk in the Torah, right? And it says, well, self-defense, he's acquitted, right? Then they acquit him. The guy says, wait a minute, you know this Gemara over here says, you know, if he could have used a taser, he's not acquitted. Too bad, we already acquitted him. But that's not obvious in the Torah, right? So murder has a lot of cases where you could mess up and acquit him because there's so many details. So, okay, I understand it, but if it's something that Sudukim would agree, black and white in the Chumash, well, then we would go back. So the question is, well, how do we look at adultery? Does it have so many complicated laws also, like murder? So then we, there, it's easy to acquit or not, right? That's what we're saying. But in adultery cases, there are apparently no subtle issues that could lead a judge to acquit for accused, the accused mistakenly. Any error in favor of the guilty couple would seem to allow a ruling explicitly contradicted by the Torah. That's what they're asking. They're saying, what about adultery? Would there ever be a case that we would go back to undo an acquittal? Because it seems that the only anything we'd bring up would be something that would be written from the Torah. So it seems a pretty obvious thing. So is there a way to treat it like everything's obvious in all cases of adultery? So that's the Shiloh. Amar Lei, he replied to him, one of these statements, one of these aphorisms, Ad mokdoch yokid zilkots karachtzle, while your fire is burning, cut your gourds and roast them. What does that mean? Okay. Since the Sadducees agree that adultery is forbidden, an erroneous acquittal is reversible. They're saying there's nothing more complex about it. There are these hidden laws they could forget. It's straight out. While you're studying a Talmudic ruling, analyze it well and see its ramifications. Rabbi Yochanan thus tells Rabbi Chiya bar Abba that since he learned from him that a verdict contradicted by any law with which the Sadducees concur may be reversed, verdicts in adultery cases are by definition reversible because the only issues at hand are open biblical concepts. There isn't details of, you know, could you have been adulterer in another way? Like, it's like this. There's nothing. No tricky parts in the Gemara. It's all there is too. Since the Sadducees agree that adultery is prohibited, an erroneous verdict of acquittal may be reversed. And let's just finish up one more part over here. Eat Marnami, we also learned the same thing, a similar statement is attributed to another person. Amar Ravami, Amar Rav Yochanan. Ravami says the name of Rav Yochanan. Ta'a benoef, if there's a mistake in a case of adultery, Choser can be reversed even to convict. Ella. Hey, Chidami, so now how do you have the case of Ein Choser? Wait a minute. The Mishnah says you don't reverse capital cases. So obviously there's got to be something that it would apply as well. This is a capital case, adultery. So how would you have a reversal, right? By making a general statement regarding capital cases, our Mishnah implies that the rule barring a reversal verdict of acquittal applies to all capital offenses. Mishnah said capital offenses cannot be reversed to make them guilty. Right? It has to apply to every capital case, right? But you're saying, well, okay, but you just told me that the laws of adultery, whatever is there is so obvious it can always be reversed. But wait a minute, the Mishnah said they're not reversed. There has to be at least one case of adultery that can't be reversed because the Mishnah said a global statement. All capital cases can't be reversed to make him guilty. Now, okay, we can make an exception, but you still can't say the whole case goes out. So if you're telling me that every case of adultery is so clear and it's blatant, you can always reverse it, but the Mishnah would say that you can't, must be a case. So what's the case that's not of adultery that is not so obvious and we wouldn't reverse it to prosecute? He says the following scenario, Kigon Shita Shalo Kedarka, in a case where he erred and acquitted them for adultery that was performed unnaturally, an unnatural act. Since this prohibition is not stated explicitly in the Torah, this is what comes out of the Mishnah. The Torah doesn't say explicitly adultery in a not natural way is also prohibited. The fact is it is, but the Torah doesn't make that explicit. So now if a judge acquitted them for unnatural act of adultery, so that's something, even though he made a mistake, it would not be reversed to convict them because that part is not clear in the Torah. Since this prohibition is not stated explicitly in the Torah, an acquittal based on an error regarding this prohibition may not be reversed in favor of conviction. How do we know that even in a not proper way is guilty? The rabbis derived from the Torah's description of sodomy between men. Now, I figure sodomy between men cannot be the same way the way it's done with a man and a woman, right? And it calls it mishkaveisha, the copulations of a woman. When two men are together, they call it a copulation of a woman. How do you have that? That's to say that sodomy of a woman is also legally defined as an act of copulation by its use of the plural mishkaveh copulations. What do you say? Two times? Only do it once. Torah indicates that there are two forms of legally recognized copulation in the case of a woman, natural and unnatural, and that these are legally analogous. Thus, whatever laws and penalties apply to natural apply to unnatural. This equation, however, is not stated openly in the Torah, and indeed the Sadducees did not accept this. Thus, according to Ronan, they acquitted a couple of adulterers on the grounds that the intercourse had been performed unnaturally, the verb cannot be reversed. So that's a case that's not clearly explicitly mentioned. So if they messed up on that, and they freed them, and they said, hey, you know, it says over here, this Gemara, that even unnatural is the same thing. Oh, we didn't know that. Too bad, we can't bring it back. That's not something that Sadducees knew. But everything else in adultery, you'd go back, because that everything else the Sadducees agreed to, and it's openly in the pasuk. All right.
I can't remember the detail, but a long time ago we did one different Gemara where this natural, unnatural came up, and we said unnatural didn't count. And I can't remember what it was.
I don't recall either.
Sota.
Maybe Sota? Maybe
Sota.
Maybe it's an exception. Maybe it's an exception. Maybe by Sota. Could be. Okay, two dots. Good place to stop. Okay.